You can either subscribe to the channel or you can take a cold shower. You get to pick. That's all we want is the like, subscribe, share, or grab a cold shower. Whichever. It doesn't matter to us. Welcome to the Catholic Dad Show. My name's Chris.
And I'm Matt, and we're just a couple of Catholic dads learning lessons as we go and trying to pass that along to the other dads that are hopefully following us, maybe coming with us, and maybe we can learn something from the guys we bring on this show.
Much like Matt, we're going to be failing forward all throughout this episode. Come journey with us because we believe that Catholic fatherhood can and is changing the world. So let's dive in. We are talking today about Exodus 90. Matt and I were in a group, a fraternity, where we dove into Exodus 90. And it was actually a little bit of time ago.
I was about to say, we've had just enough time to get past it, to recover from it, that we can now talk about it. We've healed. Now we can talk.
Okay, so here's the deal. We're going to review it, and we're going to go through some things that's going to be a little punchy, but just the overview. Matt, are you glad you did Exodus 90? Yes, no, or maybe?
Yes, I'm very glad that I did it.
Yeah, and I would say the same thing. I am glad that I did Exodus 90. Would you do it again?
I don't think I need to do it again. So no, I would not do it again.
I don't need to do it again.
No,
look at you.
There are other things that that I would do now that I've gone through it and know the parts. I've learned so much about myself through that experience. I know what I would do the next time I do something extreme.
Got it.
Does that make sense?
Yes, I hear you. I probably would say maybe do it again. I might adjust a couple of things, and you'll hear about my pieces in it. Exodus 90.
Okay, hold on.
Go ahead.
I would do it if a brother asked me to do it. If someone said, "Hey Matt, I would like you to walk with me, journey with me through this. Will you do it with me?" I would do it then.
You would do it for someone.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Got it.
Yeah.
So there's three elements to Exodus 90. It's a 90-day experience: fraternity, asceticism, and prayer.
Hold on. Asceticism, not aestheticism. Asceticism.
Asceticism.
There you go. Good job, Chris.
I am. I'm learning and growing, and so should you. All right. But if you haven't talked down to someone today, Matt Rice will be the model. There we go.
I was helping. Like, that's, what is it? Oh, man. If charity demands it, charity demanded that, Chris.
At least once an episode. Prayer. Every man who goes through Exodus 90 is expected to make a daily holy hour and read daily passages from the book of Exodus and reflection, which is actually included in the app when you sign up. So yeah. Prayer is an expectation. Asceticism. These are the pieces that people get kind of freaked out about.
Oh, yeah.
These are things like cold showers.
Yep.
Short cold showers. I don't know why they had to put short in there. Like, oh, this is great. Oh, everything's shriveling, you know. Practice regular intense exercise. At least 7 hours of sleep, no alcohol, no desserts, no sweets, no eating between meals, no soda, no drinks, no beer, no television or televised sports or movies, no video games, no non-essential material purchases. Only listen to music that lifts the soul to God. So yeah. Like 90s Christian music is also out because it never lifted.
Never mentions God at all.
Okay, sorry. Only use the computer for work, school, or essential tasks like paying bills. Only use your phone for essential communication. And Wednesdays and Fridays, abstain from meat and only eat one full meal, as well as two smaller meals that don't add up to one meal. So basically, a day of fasting and abstaining. And so that's that aspect. And then the fraternity piece, the fraternal, is weekly meetings with your fraternity. Check in with your anchor, which is one of the brothers that you're journeying with. And yep. You're basically paired up with them for accountability purposes. Check in with them daily and journey together through that process. So
yeah,
that's kind of the overview of Exodus 90. Let's talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Well, hold on. Before, like, whenever anybody is presented with it, there's almost always one thing, at least one thing, that they're like, nope, that's a deal breaker, you know, or I can't do that. I'm not doing that. Or maybe it's even the combination of all those things, that people like is the deterrent. And that may be, exactly what you need to take to prayer when you're deciding whether or not to do this is, why am I so hesitant because of this one thing? You know, is it because I don't think I'm strong enough? Is it because I don't think I'm like, I don't know, that I can actually do it? And am I And this is, in my mind, I think about Lent and any other, you know, kind of practice. Am I expecting perfection right out the gate? You know, or am I expecting to grow in this practice? And so if you expect that you're going to like do the entire 90 days and flawlessly. Only do like and flawlessly and only do cold showers that entire time, the likelihood you're going to do that is pretty low. And so if when the first time you fail, then you're going to just quit, you know, and that's like, no. Like first time you fail, then just see how much longer you can go before the next one.
Amen. You know? Yeah. And let's talk about cold showers for just a minute. Matt and I both showered less.
Oh, yeah. Definitely showered less.
You shower less, and then you take quicker showers, and then cool showers and cold showers, you start to blend the truth between that reality.
And my cheat, what I did is I took a cold shower in a, like, Bikram yoga-type room, like in a 110-degree room. So I had a heater in my bathroom. I turned that heater on, let it charge up that room to like 90 degrees, and then I took a cold shower, and it was not that bad.
Not that bad, yeah. So I do want to say one of the things we're going to talk about is the ugly. If you don't go all in, you're not just doing a disservice to yourself. You're also doing a disservice to the brotherhood that's journeying with you. And yeah. that's problematic. We ran into that a little bit with people that would have cheat days and different things like that. Now, I understand that certain things need to be adapted, and I think actually that's okay. So, for example, the holy hour piece, I adapted it to where it was 2 30-minute times of prayer instead of one full hour, just because life as a dad and things like that made it very difficult and even cumbersome to accomplish that and still honor my role as husband, father, and provider. And so I do want to acknowledge there are certain things that are going to be adjusted or tweaked. If for some reason you have a sibling or a family member that's getting married, you're darn right you're going to have a glass of champagne and a piece of cake at the reception to celebrate and things like that. Like if your wife bakes you a breakfast, you know, for just as a treat, you're not going to set the bacon aside and be like, it's a Wednesday or a Friday. I'm not even supposed to be eating this. And then she's like, I guess I should never love you again. Right. There's some tensions that you need to have some levity with. And I'm not sure if Exodus does a good job at communicating that reality to where if hospitality comes your way and you don't invite it, but a friend just comes over and says, hey, let's sit down and have a drink and hands you a soda. You don't dump it out.
So the interesting thing is I think that Exodus 90 gets men. Like Exodus 90 understands men. And until we mature, we will rise to the lowest bar that someone sets for us. And so if, like even me earlier saying that you are going to slip in like in the showers, you're going to slip in the shower. You're going to mess up. Even me saying that, there are men that heard this, that now that's their excuse for when they mess up because Matt said I would.
Yeah.
You know, so I just lowered the bar for people, which is not good because now there are people out there that will rise to the lowest bar.
Right.
And so Exodus 90 knows that. So they're going to set the bar as high as they possibly can.
Bar. It's pronounced bar.
Bah.
Bah.
Bah. It's funny. Bar. I sound like a New Yorker almost. The bah.
Asceticism. Bah. Okay. So that's actually part of the good. So let's get to the good. The good. One is it's challenging. Mm-hmm. Like no one gets excited. Like you don't see bumper stickers on the back of people's car where they've ran a half mile. Like I did a half mile. They're up there talking about their marathon. Yeah, the 0.5. They're bragging about 26.2, right? It is a challenge. This thing is a 26.2. It's something that's going to stretch you. And that's a good thing. I think men need to, like you said, rise to that challenge. The prayer piece, I don't care who you are. Like saying that I'm committing to 60 minutes of prayer every single day, like and striving for that, like that is the best piece. And they give you some aspects or some training or some formation in regards to how to fill that hour. Because if you're new to prayer or if you just have a simple prayer routine that doesn't really lead you into deeper meditation, reflection or things like that, like you are forced to listen to God, not just read or say a rosary and be done. Like it's so that was so good. And then, like, you learn a lot about yourself from attachments.
So on the prayer side of thing, it's interesting because, like, you'll have, like, multiple different types of guys coming into this. You'll have guys who, like, their prayer life is just Sunday Mass. Like they don't, you know, pray throughout the week if they never have, or they'll pray at meal times, or maybe they'll do a nighttime exam or something like that, or something really simple as their normal prayer time. And then you'll have people who have a regular daily prayer life of at least 30 minutes. And so you like, but the good thing is regardless, I do feel like it challenges, you know, all types of people to just take their prayer to the next level or to another step. And that may be something that Exodus 90 doesn't tell you, that it's okay to go from 0 minutes a day to 15 in the first week, and then from 15 to 30 in the second week. I would say that. Now, I don't know if that's a good suggestion or not, but going from zero to an hour a day, like no one ever recommends that to people when they're starting to start a prayer life. They say, like, put 5 minutes a day. And that's
the next week, add 5 minutes more.
Like, add more, you know. And so maybe don't do it that slowly because it'll take a long time to get up to an hour. But 15 minutes a week, you know, add that to your thing. But I think that's a really good thing. We should, every single Christian should be in the habit of a minimum of 30 minutes a day of personal reflective prayer, not just rote prayer, personal reflective prayer, just in the presence of God.
Amen.
And in the presence of God, that can be in your prayer room at your house, or it can be in a chapel. It really doesn't matter. That holy
it
hour
can be in your prayer chair. That's right.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yep. Anything else on prayer?
No, let's talk about attachments. You learn a lot about yourself based upon the things that you're attached to.
Yeah. And that was something that I alluded to at the very beginning, is like, what's the thing that made you not want to do this? Or even in the midst of it, what's the thing that has become really, really hard?
Right.
And one of the things I noticed was just the snacking. I didn't realize how much I snacked between meals. And I got hungry. I started getting hungrier between meals because I wasn't snacking. And so that was a really interesting thing. And then like the first year that I did it was probably one of the longest stints that I'd spent not drinking, you know, in a long time.
Right.
And so then it was like, there was a real interesting learning opportunity for me around alcohol and myself. And it was like the first time that my eyes were open to, wow, there may be more here than I think there is, you know? And so I learned a lot about myself there, you know, in Exodus 90. The cold shower thing, man, I think I learned about my desire for comfort, and not being willing to actually put myself through pain. Like that was something, like the cold shower thing was something my spiritual director asked me to do a year ahead of time, as a sacrifice in prayer for him. And he was going to do the same thing. He was going to sacrifice in prayer for me. And it was like, I couldn't do it. And I felt like such a jerk because he did, you know? But that was something that I know about myself, is like that desire for comfort, that need for comfort, is something that it's hard for me to put myself into pain like that. Now, when I'm enduring pain for workout, I hate running. You know, whenever I have to run for workout, like I get into a rhythm where I'm like, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee, whatever. Like I get this tempo of praying, and I can do that for sure. But cold showers, man, like that's just one that was really, really hard for me and exposed that desire or that need for comfort in me.
Yeah, the amount of psyching myself up is kind of like, I'm going to do it. And I would turn it on for 30 seconds, then turn it off. And then I would lather and then on for 15 seconds and rinse and be in that. That was my shower. You know what I mean? It was like the least amount of cold water hit my body. So
what about you as far as learning attachments?
Yeah. So there were definitely things where I actually was disappointed in myself. I thought I was better or less attached to these things. Like, yeah. I'm like, why am I having trouble falling asleep? It's like, oh, because I haven't numbed myself by scrolling on Facebook, right?
Uh-huh.
Like, yeah. It's like, whoa, I literally utilize media to shift my brain. And then I started being like, well, what if I talk to Jesus for a little bit? and I started learning new ways and replacing old habits with better habits, you know? Now, full disclosure, I'm back to my phone. But every Lent, I give up using my phone in the bedroom because I know that that's a tendency that I have, and Exodus 90 taught me about that attachment, which was really good. So,
yep.
Fasting, man, fasting was the good and the bad. Fasting is not easy, but as a spiritual practice, it's almost a forgotten art in Catholicism. Yep. And I think that it's something that needs to be resurrected, especially among men. So even if you don't do Exodus 90, figure out some way to incorporate fasting into your life as a more regular basis. But there are some fruits to fasting that are pretty apparent and obvious. Matt, why don't you share a few?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like the number one is you lose weight. You know, almost everyone in our group of guys in our brotherhood lost weight and substantial weight. I think I lost, 19 pounds, when I did it, with all the things we weren't eating and not snacking and the fasting. It was like, holy moly. I didn't realize how many extra calories I was consuming per day.
Yep.
More than I needed. And yeah, that was really, everybody was like, whoa. So that was good.
Yeah. The loss of food or junk food, basically just the snacking, that's the part where I ended up making up the ground. But also with the intense regular exercise, that led to more energy. You feel better.
Yep.
It also helps that you're getting a full night's sleep every single night, which is something that dads really struggle to get. But when you kill all media, you're like, wow, I just freed up 90 minutes in my day, which is good. The other piece, and this is me, you save some money. You do. You're not spending money on beer. You're not spending money on food and
snacks.
You're saving some money with fasting. And so,
Well, and that's objectively, good. This is what we were just talking about is objectively, you're healthier, period. You're sleeping, like you're supposed to be sleeping a full 8 hours. You're not snacking. You're not doing all this other stuff. Objectively, you are physically healthier.
Yes.
There's no way to argue that, and that's a good, from this. We are supposed to be treating these bodies like temples, right? And some of this exposes how we do not treat it like temples. We put quite a bit of garbage, in these temples.
So when I went, just to shift, when I went to my spiritual director and told him I was entering into Exodus 90, he said, Chris, I have some concerns. Yep. And so I just want to share that he was concerned because the prayer regimen that I had shared with him, because I have daily mass as a part of my routine oftentimes and things like that. And he's like, you're actually praying as much as I am when you're on Exodus 90. And he goes, that's a good thing, except you have 6 kids and I don't.
Yeah,
this
is my vocation.
Right. This is my vocation. And so he goes, I'm just concerned about the work-life balance. And so the bad, as we enter into that, one of the challenges was time commitment.
Yeah.
And family life balance can be a challenge. And if you're going to lose that balance, Exodus 90, in my opinion, should come secondary to your family. And that sometimes has guilt associated with it when you're on the Exodus 90 train.
So. Yeah. Yeah. And on that same note, this is not if you're married, it's not a conversation. It's not something you enter into alone. You enter into it with, a conversation with your spouse and with a plan with your spouse.
Yes.
So that those Wednesdays and Friday things don't pop up and they're a surprise. Like she just worked her whole day long and made this sweet pot roast, and you say, oh, well, I can't eat that, And so that she knows that Fridays you're not going to be eating meat, stuff
right.
like that. So,
and our family has a longstanding tradition of doing family movie night together on Friday nights.
Yep.
We do that. Kids are off of school. Everyone's at home. We eat ourselves some pizza or something easy to make, and we watch a movie together. It's great. It's a lot of fun. During Exodus 90, I participated in family movie night.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't my media. It was the family time media. And so I did make that distinction. Now, you can't be like, hey, son, don't you want to watch the next episode of Rick and Morty? You can't do that. You can't.
Hey, 10-year-old daughter, what do you think about Better Call Saul?
Yeah. Hey, sweetheart, don't you want to go on a date with a daddy-daughter date for ice cream like today, like right now? Like, you can't cheat the system, but I also don't want you to cheat your family to where they're all watching a family movie and you're over in the corner reading your book being like, oh, I can't be a dad tonight because of Exodus 90. So that time commitment, some of the tensions there.
Yeah, the intention behind what you're doing matters.
Exactly.
And the intention behind Exodus 90 matters.
Feast days and liturgical seasons are a bit tricky.
Mm.
I love celebrating the resurrection on Sundays. I do. And in fact, some Exodus 90 start times actually set to end on Pentecost.
Yep.
Which means the entire Easter season, which is a season in the church of celebration, is going to be filled with prayer, sacrifices, and fasting.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
One of those should definitely be there, prayer. Sacrifices and fasting are probably not necessarily appropriate to lean into. And they say, hey, on a feast day, you could lift one of the practices.
That's funny.
I thought you'd appreciate it.
Yeah.
One of the practices, I would argue that the church seeks to celebrate and feast.
Yeah.
Fasting and feasting, not fasting and less intense fasting.
Yeah.
And so that is where Sundays and liturgical feast days and things like that become a little bit cumbersome. And I would say that that's a growth area for Exodus 90.
Quick question for you. Do you find that you celebrate Sundays as a feast more during Lent than you do during the rest of the year? During oh my gosh, the green season.
Ordinary time.
Ordinary, thank you. more than you do during ordinary time. Do you find that you do that? Like you use Lent as an excuse to celebrate on Sundays?
No, but during the Easter season, the answer is yes. Like during Easter season, we ramp it up. But no, during Lent, I think it's just about the same. It's like, okay, can we have candy today? It's like, yes, today you can't have candy. So I think the kids enjoy it a little bit more. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
But do you, like, in ordinary time, do you find yourself like celebrating Sundays? Like
yes.
Consciously?
Yes.
What do y'all do?
Ice cream.
Okay. Every Sunday you have ice cream and no ice cream the rest of the week?
Pretty much, yeah.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Sorry, that was a tangent.
Yeah. Moving on. No worries. Okay, moving on. Some people, it's $9.99 a month. So $10. Huh? No, that you have to spend. Some people take an issue with the cost. Yeah, yeah. It costs money. It's $10 a month. So you're looking at a $30 investment.
Yep.
I don't know. To me, I've heard people say, yeah, they shouldn't charge for this. I'm like, no, I think actually you should charge for it.
Absolutely.
If I'm going to spend $10, I'm more likely to do it. Maybe this goes in the good column. You know, the other thing is I'm willing to invest more than that on like Hulu or something, Disney Plus or whatever.
Think about the money. Just think about the money that you would have spent like throughout that time. And that was the easiest way for us to justify it is like, if I'm not drinking alcohol through that entire time, I'm saving a lot of money. If I'm not eating snacks, I'm saving a lot of money.
If you take issue, easily make it up. If you take issue with the cost, I need you to get better at tithing. We need to be investing in things like this. If this is not your thing to invest in, fine. But find a way to give regularly.
Yeah.
Visit ablaze.us/donate. I'm just kidding.
And it's /give, by the way.
/give. Thank you.
That's okay. Not only like tithing, better at investing in your spiritual life. Like we as a church need to get better at investing in our spiritual lives and being willing to spend money on retreats and spend money on resources and stuff like that. The idea that everything that we consume that's going to bring us closer to God has to be free is stupid.
Go get a free haircut and tell me how you think about it. You know what I mean? I'll cut your hair. Come on here. Okay. The other thing is some reflections that they read through, and maybe this has been approved since then. Some reflections have a tone that kind of got a sense of judgmentalism. Like if you're doing this, then you're horrible or whatever. And I know that part of it is like kind of shaking you. But for some of the men, as we did our weekly discussion and our check-in, they were like, dang, that was kind of harsh. And it wasn't actually edifying or helpful. It wasn't uplifting. Yeah. And even the journey with the cross should be a joyous time, not a happy time, but a joyous time, because that virtue of joy is everlasting, right?
Yep.
So some of the reflections did not reflect that joy. And then the bad cold showers flipping suck. they're the worst. They're the worst. It also creates some awkward situations. So if you're already not a social person, Exodus 90 actually gives you an excuse to be even less social. And that might not be healthy. It does actually create regular check-ins with the fraternity or whatever, with the brothers you're journeying with. But if normally you hang out with your friends and you go to a bar, or you're out inviting families over on a Saturday afternoon and having a couple of cold ones or something like that does change it. And some men would be more inclined to just say, let's just not have anyone over. That way I'm not tempted to drink a beer or something like that. And so that's a bad aspect of it.
Yeah. And I don't know if that's necessarily a bad aspect of the program or if it's a bad aspect of like how we, you know, deal with, our commitments, you know, and I think that's probably more on the person than it is on the program.
For sure.
If they do that. But yeah, but just know that that's a temptation that is hard to fight.
And don't hide behind Exodus 90 to make excuses for why you're not. Like, it, that's the thing, is the baddest, I guess, when people were blaming Exodus 90 for things, as opposed to just being like, yeah, I'm going to go to this social situation and I'm going to drink water and that's going to be okay.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about the ugly, the good, the bad, and the ugly. If the fraternity, the brotherhood isn't all in, it shows and it hurts. Like, everyone's like, oh, cold showers stink. Oh, cold showers are the worst. Yeah, I'm not really doing that. Like, we all now hate you. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there's just tension in that group when that happens. And we had a couple of times where there was a variety of interpretation of how Exodus 90 was operating. And that led to some people, not during the call, but after the call, kind of calling their partner or whatever and being like, you know what? Chris needs to get his act together and start doing it, because I'm making these sacrifices and I thought we were sacrificing for each other, which you are. It's meant to be a brotherhood where you're sacrificing for each other along the way. And I feel like they're not bringing to the table what I'm bringing to the table.
Yeah.
And that makes me frustrated.
That was the other thing that we haven't highlighted yet, is that you need to have a really good why behind this. And that's one thing that they do highlight, you know, is if your why is, I don't know, something small, and I don't even know what it would be. But why you're doing this, why you're sacrificing, you know, this for this, you know, for the brotherhood is part of it, for each other, for your wife, you know, for your children, you know, for their future spouse, you know, whatever, like something, it has to be big for you to want to go through all of this for, you know, if it's just so that you can get that, I don't know, that new car, whatever, you can save money to get the new car. That's not going to be a big enough why. You know, for you to go through all this.
And to lose a little bit of weight, that's not a deep enough why. Like,
no,
that
exactly.
On a spiritual level, it's like, okay, but if you're going to lose weight and you're going to pray for a friend that has cancer, okay, now we're getting deeper. Now we're getting to a deeper yes. Or I'd like to find freedom from some of the patterns of sin in my life. And I'm going to offer this up for that. And for those brothers in the fraternity that struggle with sin as well, it all of a sudden deepens the why. And then you can get some grit. Like, I really do want to say that the fraternity, in the way that they present it, is meant to be brothers in arms. You know, there's something, we're fighting this fight together. We're facing these challenges together. Here's the, along with that, bitterness seems to be contagious. So once one person is like, yeah, this blah, 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 but also cheating starts to get contagious, like you mentioned earlier.
Absolutely.
Like, that type of bitterness or that type of cheating are kind of half-hearted.
Yeah,
like,
once someone in the group lowers the bar, then everyone else rises to that bar instead of the real bar.
So the fraternity is so important, because the lowest common denominator is the standard, and that's hard. That's the ugly. The last thing for ugly that I'm going to share is that they seem to contact you forever. We got some friends in the group that were like, unsubscribe. I'm done with Exodus 90. I'm out. And then they kept getting literally phone calls and emails. And they're like, how do I get you out of my life? I'm turning the page on this thing. I had a mixed experience with Exodus 90 and I'm done with you guys. And they keep knocking on the door. Hey, it's Exodus 90. We just wanted to let you know we're having a Lenten sprint if you want to join us for this. You know, that type of thing. There seemed to be no way to fully unsubscribe from their
That's their funny, because I haven't noticed any of that, but maybe... maybe I have my filters set up the right way on my phone and on my email.
Sure.
That's funny.
Anything else, good, bad, or ugly?
Not for me. I think we talked about just about everything. I said at the beginning, this is something that I'm glad I did. I don't know if I would do it in its entirety again, but it is something like this I need to do periodically.
Amen.
Something that really does. Kind of push the body down in a way, like to show the body that my soul's in charge. I definitely need to do that, you know, periodically for sure.
Yeah. And I would say that the church provides liturgical seasons for that, like Lent. But for me, ever since Exodus 90, my Lents have been more intense than they were in the past, because they actually showed me what I'm capable of.
Yep.
Like, oh, let's take this away. I'm like, oh no, that's so much. And it's like, no, let's go to here. I was like, I was able to kind of hover around that bar that was set by Exodus 90, and it really revealed a lot about who I am and what I'm capable of on a spiritual level, on a sacrificial level. And so for me, I would say everyone should try Exodus 90 at least once. The goal isn't to get you to like it. It's actually to get you to dislike it for a little bit so that you can grow. Like, that's how things grow. You don't do things you don't like. So all that being said, you guys, that's our review of it. We'd love to hear your thoughts and feedback in the comments. What did you like? What was the good, the bad, and the ugly for you if you've done it? Or what's preventing you from jumping into something like Exodus 90? But as we roll out, we're going to close with a prayer. Matt, why don't you take us home?
You got it. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit. God, we thank you for this time, this podcast. We thank you for all those who are here listening or have listened. And we pray for all those who have gone through Exodus 90 or who will go through Exodus 90, that if it's your will at this time in their life, that they take that leap, that they say yes, and that you that they know that you will carry them through that, and that they will gain great fruits from that. Amen.
Amen.
And the Father and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Hey, that's our show. We're going to end with a challenge for you. You can either subscribe to the channel or you can take a cold shower. You get to pick. That's all we want is the like, subscribe, share, or grab a cold shower. Whichever. It doesn't matter to us. Hey, guys, thanks for joining our show at Catholic Dad Show. We are aware that Catholic manhood, Catholic fatherhood is changing the world. So let's go out and live it.
God bless.